providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Hey, welcome back. Hope you enjoy the top of the hour news. That seems to be my standard line every time we open up the second half of the KER Politics. We have a story right now that Jimmy and I have been talking about off mic. He has been doing most of the talking, I have to say. There is proof positive, at least in my mind, and certainly in Jim's mind, as to what's going on in the country right now in terms of powerful people attempting to silence people who they think are not powerful. This whole thing started out really with the Elon Musk situation yesterday. You know, if I had the money just to support Mr. Musk, I would go out and buy a Tesla today, but I think I'm going to stick with my BMW, but I think that's a mistake. Jimmy, you've got a great story. Why don't you take the mic and take as much time as you need?
All right, Al. Well, what we know is that Elon Musk bought a large percentage of, in fact, became the largest shareholder in Twitter last week with about 9.3% or something like that, 9.1%
right,
of the Twitter stock. Because of that buy, the value of the stock went up. It's had a pretty good run. But what has happened since his efforts to do that, initially as a member of the board, he was requested by the board and by the CEO, Parag Agrawal, to basically not take any responsibility to open it up for free speech. I mean, that's the way, the simplest way to bring it down, to not have as much control as he should. And so he's backed off on that offer to join the board and made a public offer to purchase Twitter at $54 plus a little bit a share. Well, that was basically, well, last night it closed at $45 a share. That's $9 a share. That's a pretty huge increase in value for shareholders. But what we're seeing is a massive pushback, not from individuals, but from big corporate entities.
And from Saudi royalty.
Exactly. So let's go through some of the people that have done the pushback. So Saudi Prince Alwad bin Talal Al Saud, he claims to own about 5% or over 5% of the shares. It looks like, based on SEC filings, that he has maybe a little less than 5% of the shares there. But basically, he came out and said no. And of course, Elon Musk wrote back and said, so the Saudis have been really in for free speech? Because ultimately, as Musk has pointed out multiple times now in multiple venues, that this is about protecting a free speech platform.
Yeah.
And what we're seeing with this pushback from people like Bin Talal and Vanguard, who bought up 10%, they increased their shareholdings from around December last year at 8.4% to over 10% to increase their ownership above Musk's 9%. And then you know that Morgan Stanley, Fidelity, and BlackRock have they've got large stakes in Twitter as well. But what's more absolutely disturbing, is to watch the mainstream media financial analysts and experts poo-poo on this and saying, hey, this is, maybe it's a joke, he's not serious, or he's trying to control, and it may be the end of democracy if Elon Musk actually owns Twitter and allows free speech on Twitter.
Jimmy, excuse me just a second. Pardon me, I got an interruption. Now, I cannot believe the statement that somebody who's attempting to foster a higher degree of freedom of speech, I don't see a connection between that and the end of democracy.
No, I don't either. But ask Brian Stelter on CNN or Brooke Baldwin on MSNBC. They're making very strong statements. And of course, some of the financial analysts on CNBC are making very similar, ranging from this is a joke, it's not serious, to, hey, maybe there's some legal issues with him attempting to do this. And then to the extreme of, oh, by the way, if he takes over, then everybody's done and free speech is doomed, which is absolutely inconsistent with reality, which shows you how desperate they are. But let me tell
you, Al, there's one more thing
that is even more damning out there right now. And that is the DOJ and the SEC have apparently, according to some reports, have opened investigations into Tesla. Once again, this administration and the Department of Justice under Merrick Garland using the power of law to intimidate people out of both free speech and free markets. And in order to use the threat of basically fining and imprisonment to silence voices.
Yeah.
Now, this is the idea that there's a conspiracy out there that is a powerful, influential mega funders and corporate entities attempt to control the narrative is no longer a conspiracy theory. This absolutely proves that these large financial institutions, that the major corporate media outlets, that the Department of Justice and this administration are trying to silence someone who wants to defend free speech in America.
I want to stress that fact, Jimmy. I want to say that I agree with you 1,000%, and this is proof positive. Elon Musk, with his background, being where he's from, realizes the importance, probably almost more than any other American, of a free democracy, of freedom of speech. Look at his background. Look at where he's from. Look at the amazing situations some of the heroes of his original country have done to foster democracy. This guy grew up with this stuff. I've read all the books about his heroes, the people who he, I have to say, is really looking to right now and saying, you know, I'm going to help you in your effort of the past because you did it in our original country. Let's do it in America, the most important country in the world, in my mind. You agree with that?
I agree with it. And I think that basically he realizes, you know, he's been at odds with people like Mark Zuckerberg, specifically because of AI and Facebook. You know, Mark Zuckerberg controls Facebook completely. And he's trying to expand the algorithms and the artificial intelligence. Jeff Bezos is doing the same. I know my son, theoretical physicist from Caltech, works on AI development for Amazon Web Services.
Right.
Elon Musk is very concerned for the human race about the potential damaging effects of these types of controls, using AI to influence and intimidate or to silence voices, but more importantly, to be able to shape minds and influence people without them even knowing that and knowing it. And, you know, he realizes what the devastation that could be brought upon this. And of course, these other major corporate conglomerates and giants, including the networks and, you know, Google, they're making their fortune off of that type of control.
Yep.
So this is a real, in my view, this is the war. It's an information war. And this is what's the most damaging thing out there. And we know that this administration has stepped over the bounds in attempting to use legal and law enforcement, using that type of government power to silence opposition voices. You see it every day, but it's becoming very clear. I think we ought to talk a little bit about Project Veritas as well.
Yeah, you bet. You bet. You know, I find it really interesting that a certain demographic in our country is doing this. I don't think they're going to have the luck that eventually came out of the Elon Musk's country, obviously South Africa. I don't think they're going to have the luck, but I think that they're going to try and try and try. And we're going to have a great indication on the first election here coming up shortly. Jimmy, we've got about 30 seconds here. Jim and I are going to give you just a bit of a preview. In the first segment, we talked really about another subject that's very important, and that's truly Ukraine. And in the final segment, we're going to wrap this up. But we believe that we have, thanks to Jimmy, proof positive of the degradation that's going on in the freedom in the United States.